Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites Yamaha.com and Nobel.com. Question number one. Belgian Adolphe Sax was born on this very day back in 1814. He invented the saxophone. To which family of musical instrument does the sax belong? Is it A, a woodwind? Is it B, a brass? Is it C, percussion? D, string? Or E, keyboard? The sax, which family? And question number two, why is the 11th month of our calendar year called November? Is it A, the word November comes from the Greek word for 11? Is it B, the addition of 2 months to the start of the Roman calendar moved November from the 9th to the 11th month of the calendar year? Or was it C, Novem is from a Latin phrase meaning almost a dozen, the 11th month? Why named November? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the 6th of November. Well, it was on this day back in 1854 that composer John Philip Sousa, known for such songs as the Washington Post March, was born. 1854, today. And it was 15 years ago today that the original Guitar Hero game was released in North America. 2005 today.
Together, you waltz right in the door, just like you've done before, and wrap my heart round your little finger. Here you come again.
Dolly Parton's Here You Come Again introduces our country music news. It's an article entitled, Dolly Parton Shares Heartwarming Stories Behind Some of Her Favorite Songs. This is published in Parade Magazine on the 30th of October, 2020. Jolene, I Will Always Love You, 9 to 5, Coat of Many Colors. Most of us have a favorite Dolly Parton song that pulls at our heartstrings or inspires us to belt out the chorus. The truth is, it's hard to pick just one. Parton, 74, has written roughly 3,000 songs, with nearly 500 recorded by herself and others, including Whitney Houston, Merle Haggard, Willie Nelson, Emmylou Harris, Glenn Campbell, Linda Ronstadt, and Kris Kristofferson. And now she's written a fascinating book about those songs. Dolly Parton, Song Teller, My Life in Lyrics, out on November the 17th. Its nearly 400 pages are filled with amazing stories, details, and photos, many not shared before, about Parton's life, music, and storytelling process.
It's been a little while, you're messing up my
Parton, whose new album, A Holly Dolly Christmas, debuted at number one in early October, was born with a gift for song and a big imagination. Ever since I was a small child, I had the gift of rhyme things, she writes. I used to love to go to graveyards, read somebody's name on their stone, and wonder what their story was. It's kind of embedded in me to make up songs and stories. And wherever she is, that's where she writes. On my tour bus, on an airplane, in the bathtub, or just about anywhere. The writing comes all the time. I always try to be open to it and be ready. I stay close to my guitar or a tape recorder so that I can remember a melody if it comes to me. Those old tapes come in handy. I am a singer, an entertainer, and a businesswoman. But if I had to choose just one thing to be, it would be a songwriter. Everything that I am starts with a song. The songs discussed in her book, by the way, include Jolene, 1973, I Will Always Love You, 1974, 9 to 5, 1980, Everything's Beautiful in Its Own Way, 1982, and this article ends with her comments about her latest song, When Life Gets Good Again, 2020. When the coronavirus pandemic hit, Parton pledged $1 million to help fund a future vaccine. On her web series, Good Night with Dolly, she read bedtime stories to homebound children. The death toll, which included her friends, Nashville-based musicians Joe Diffie and John Prine, hit 100,000 the week Parton released this song, which she wrote with Kent Wells. In the song's video, she says, "Be safe, be respectful, wear your mask, and lead with love." And in classical music news, we have this article entitled, Some Classical Concerts to Stream in November. This is published in the todaynews.com.pk. 30th of October 2020 by Joshua Barone et al. With many opera houses and concert halls still closed by the coronavirus pandemic for months to come, the musical action has moved online. That's been the case since March, of course. But as the weather cools and outdoor presentations grow more difficult, artists and institutions are creating digital presentations with more care and intention. There is a flood of offerings out there. Here are some highlights from what's coming in November. Los Angeles Opera, November 14th at 8 p.m., LAopera.org, available through November 29. A young widow, cynical about love, keeps receiving letters and gifts from an unknown man expressing his passion for her. That's the setup for The Anonymous Lover, a 1740 chamber opera by the composer Joseph Boulogne. Los Angeles Opera streams a production performed by socially distanced singers and instrumentalists. James Conlon, the company's music director, conducts. Then there's the San Francisco Symphony, November 14th at 10 p.m., sfsymphony.org, available indefinitely. Orchestral music wasn't written to be presented the way it has been in online streams of varying quality during the pandemic, but the industry is beginning to adapt with new works written for the Internet. The program that's presented here will also include pieces, lest you forget his 250th birthday, Beethoven. Then there's The Cliburn, November 15th at 3 p.m., cliburn.org, available indefinitely. This pandemic has caused the quadrennial Cliburn International Piano Competition to be moved from next June to 2022. But its organizers are providing some intriguing online content, including previously broadcast competition programs and Clyburn Masterpiece, a series exploring one work at a time. Seattle Symphony, November 19th at 10:30 p.m., seattlesymphony.org, available through November 26th. Declare November the month of Taishan Sore, not even 2 weeks after hearing the premiere from Detroit of his violin concerto for Marcos Balter. Travel, virtually of course, to Seattle for another new work of his for Roscoe Mitchell for cello and orchestra. Finally, there is Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, November 21 at 8 p.m., cincinnatisymphony.org, available through December the 12th. The conductor, Louis Langerie, has a strong track record in the music of Schubert, whose unfinished symphony anchors this program. But this conductor and his orchestra will also branch out, performing the Pulitzer Prize winner Anthony Davis's You Have the Right to Remain Silent. This work, with its sardonic invocation of the Miranda Warning, has been memorably recorded by the Boston Modern Orchestra Project. Stan Getz, playing Autumn Leaves, introduces our jazz and blues music news, the best songs about fall weather. This is published in earthnetworks.com on the 2nd of October, 2017. The temperatures are dropping, the leaves are falling, apples are ready for picking. Autumn is officially here. The fall is one of our favorite seasons here at Earth Networks. Summer thunderstorms become a thing of the past, and hurricane season dwindles down to a close on November the 1st. The weather can be unpredictable during the fall, but conditions are mostly stable. Chilly temperatures call for sweaters and hot apple cider as winter draws near. Let's not rush the seasons along, though. Autumn song playlist. There are plenty of songs about fall weather, but which ones are the best? Here's a preview of our autumn audio playlist on Spotify. The article lists Autumn in New York by Ella Fitzgerald at number one, and Harvest Moon by Neil Young at number six. And as noted in songfacts.com, Autumn Leaves is an old jazz standard, starting with a French song with music by Joseph Cosma and lyrics by poet Jacques Prévert. It was adapted with English lyrics in 1947 by American songwriter Johnny Mercer. French singer Edith Piaf did a broadcast version in both English and French in 1950 on the radio program The Big Show, hosted by Tallulah Bankhead. From there, we get Steve Allen recording a version in conjunction with launching The Steve Allen Show, with George Cates and his orchestra in chorus. Oh, and the film of the same name used this song, Autumn Leaves, was a 1956 film starring Joan Crawford, using the version done by Nat King Cole. Springsteen's Dancing in the Dark introduces our pandemic adjustment music news. It's entitled Springsteen Wrestles with Death. This is published on the 4th of November, 2020, Miami Herald by Leonard Pitts, Jr. You hear him as you float high above leafless trees dusted with snow. The scene, captured in creamy tones of black and white, is one of beauty, almost unbearably elegiac, sacred in its silliness and its stillness. Then he speaks, giving words to a truth all too familiar to anyone who has lived long enough to see skin grow loose and hair turn thin and gray. Age, he says, age brings perspective and the fine clarity one gets at midnight on the tracks looking into the lights of an oncoming train. It dawns on you rather quickly. There's only so much time left, only so many star-filled nights, snowfalls, brisk fall afternoons, rainy midsummer days. All this is from Bruce Springsteen's Letter to You, the Apple TV documentary on the making of Springsteen's new album of the same name. It is, he tells you on film, a suite of songs born on a deathbed, meaning that they were written after a vigil to George Theis, who before he was a 68-year-old carpenter stricken with lung cancer, was a teenager playing in a Jersey Shore band called the Castiles with his girlfriend's brother, Bruce Springsteen. With George's death, said Springsteen in voiceover, I was the last living member of the mighty Castiles. He says this by way of introducing Last Man Standing, a propulsive paean to gigs long past and days long gone, to being young and loud, rocking together against the world, which makes it also, inevitably, a song about the swiftness and the thievery of time. A song that implicitly asks, hey, what happened to 1967? Not that memory and mortality are the only themes Springsteen wrestles, but they are the ones he keeps returning to, as if he can't stop ruminating on the impermanence of life. In one song, he sings a lament many have sung before. One minute you're here, next minute you're gone. None of this is particularly surprising come from an introspective poet who notched his 71st birthday in September, yet the theme resonates beyond the AARP, set in a god-awful year that has gone out of its way to remind us that life makes no promises. We've lost over 231,000 of our family and friends to a pandemic. But, as Springsteen sings, you and me were alive, improbably, gloriously so. And what to do with that? He decided to convene the E Street Band, most of its members old friends of many decades and countless stages. They gathered in a studio on his New Jersey farm and recorded these songs. The music is muscular and lean. The keyboard chimes, the sax sasses, the drums punch as hard as Mike Tyson ever did. In other words, it sounds like Springsteen, same as he ever was. Yet some of the best moments of the documentary are found not in the songs, but in between, as old friends toast, laugh, and remember with that ease born of being, well, old friends. It lends the music a kind of urgent joy that comes not despite the fact that we are finite, but through it. By the way, because of it. Finite at 71, yes, but also finite at 31. That's the thing age knows that youth is slow to figure out, and it's the moral of 2020, the wisdom whispered above snow-whitened trees. Ye only get so many star-filled nights and rainy midsummer days, only so much baby laughter, only so many carnivals, only so much music. So it is always a good idea to take joy urgently. One minute, you're here. The Doobie Brothers, What a Fool Believes, introduces our rock and pop music news. It's entitled Rock On, Walter Scott's Personality Parade, on the 1st of November 2020. The annual live Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony is going virtual this year with an exclusive special, November 7th, 8th, HBO, on 2020's class of inductees, Depeche Mode, The Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Nine Inch Nails, The Notorious B.I.G., and T-Rex. Here are some fun facts about the Doobies, winners of 2 Grammy Awards with 5 top 10 singles and 16 top 40 hits, who started rocking in 1969. Their first hit was Listen to the Music from their second album, To Loose Street, in 1972. The band's image originally reflected their biggest fans, bikers in leather jackets. They performed their 1974 number one hit, Black Water, on a 1978 episode of TV's What's Happening. In a 1986 Los Angeles Times poll, the Doobie Brothers were the band that readers most wanted to reunite behind Led Zeppelin. Former Doobie Brothers Jeff Skunk Barber became a self-taught ballistic missile expert, and band member Michael McDonald reveals that his all-time favorite Doobie Brothers song is, well, here's how he answered that question. There are a number of favorites for me from a musician's perspective, along with being on stage and experiencing the audience's reaction to so many songs. I think of Black Water, Long Train Running, China Grove, to name a few. It's hard to choose just one. Bandmate Tom Johnson, however, responded, I'll choose Listen to the Music, simply because it really resonates with and is recognized by people to this day. It's also the song that was our first hit. It got us on the radio and charts and thus in the public eye. That's a big deal when you're a kid. What does it mean to earn the recognition of your music industry peers? Truly humbling, and we're deeply appreciative of the honor. I think it's important to note that so many artists I listened to and admired coming up are in the Rock Hall. People like Little Richard, B.B. King, Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, James Brown, Ray Charles, Dylan, The Beatles, Cream, Jimi Hendrix, The Allman Brothers, The Who, it just goes on. And I'm just scratching the surface here. To think that we are going to be in the company of those artists is a little daunting. And in local music news, we have this. Upcoming concerts, published in pinecone.org, November 2nd, 2020. Thank you to everyone who joined us for last week's harmonica workshop. This week, we hope you'll join us online this Sunday afternoon for a concert and discussion with North Carolina musician Javier Montano, who was recently featured on WUNC's The State of Things with Frank Stacio. Following the concert, stick around for a discussion and Q&A facilitated by Pinecone Executive Director David Brower. We're excited to continue to highlight North Carolina music and musicians in partnership with the NC Museum of History and to use this online platform to provide an opportunity for further discussion and Q&A with the artists after the performance. Our registration is required. Registrants will receive a link to join the event, so go to pinecone.org for additional details. So, how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, Belgian Adolphe Sax, who was born on this very day back in 1814, invented the saxophone. To which family of musical instrument does the sax belong? Is it A, woodwind, B, brass, C, percussion, or D, string? Or is it E, keyboard? Correct answer, answer A. As noted in Yamaha.com, the saxophone is only one of a very few instruments in wide use today known to be invented by a single individual. His name is Adolph Sax. That's why it's called the saxophone. History tells us that Adolph Sax, 1814 to 1894, was a musical instrument designer born in Belgium who could play many wind instruments. His idea was to create an instrument that combined the best qualities of a woodwind instrument with the best qualities of a brass instrument, and in the 1840s he conceived the saxophone. This invention was patented in Paris in 1846. A metal woodwind? The saxophone has always been made of brass since it was first invented. Because of the principles by which it produces sound, however, it is classified as a woodwind, much like the clarinet and flute. And the answer to our second question, why is the 11th month of our calendar year called November? Is it A, the word November comes from the Greek word for 11? Is it B, the addition of 2 months to the start of the Roman calendar moved November from the 9th to the 11th month of the calendar year? Or is it C, Novem is from a Latin phrase meaning almost a dozen? Correct answer? As noted in Nobel.com, the name of the month of November comes from the Latin Novem, meaning 9. Because in the Roman calendar, November was the 9th month of the year out of a total of 10 months, with the adding of January and February at the beginning of the calendar after the Julian calendar reform, November became the 11th month of the year as we know it today. Nobel.com. Correct answer, therefore, answer B. In honor of November, the last month of fall, let's close out today's program with Neil Young's Harvest Moon.
We know where the music's playing. Let's go out and feel the night. Because I'm still in. See you dance again, because I'm still in love with you on this harvest moon.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure. Tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment,